Should have cleared my throat before I started talking. When I talk to people about Jesus, it kind of comes down to a couple things that I boil a lot of their conversations down to, why they don't want to believe or why they choose not to believe. And it really comes down to a choice of choosing not to believe. But one group of people, they don't want to believe because they don't think he's worthy of worship. They might think that there's a God, but they don't think he's worthy. And then there's another group that just kind of, there might be a God, might be, but they don't want him to control their lives. They don't want him to be Lord of their lives. And it kind of comes down to how they want to live. And I got a balloon here. And this balloon kind of represents us. How's that for sound effects? Too bad it didn't go with what I was talking about. All right, so this balloon represents our life. Yeah, there's stuff in it, isn't it? Because we can fill our lives with all kinds of stuff. And no, I can't. You know, the one thing that annoyed me all the time growing up was watching cartoons where they could blow up a balloon and it float away. Did that not annoy you? Because you have to have helium to do that, and I could never breathe out helium. All right. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about either. And I'm not even sure where I was going. Oh, yes. Life. We can fill life with whatever we want it to be, right? We can do all kinds of stuff, but what it boils down to is everything in this life, it means nothing. I mean, it kind of, because when it gets down to it, when life starts happening, when it gets down to it, what's inside kind of matters. Because when we get to life and things happen, bad things happen, death, that kind of stuff, it kind of matters. What's in the balloon?
Feathers?
Feathers? Yeah, it's just fluff. Just fluff in the balloon. And it couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. Ugh, I got another one. All right. It does. It's got water in it. It's magical, huh? Yeah, it's got water in it, so the flame won't pop. It won't pop. It won't pop. All right? Because of what's inside, that matters, right? And I left my Bible back in there. One of the verses, though, one of the verses that Fred's going to talk about this morning has a lot to do with that. And now we can see if I can look it up just as quick as I can in a real Bible as with my phone. And I cannot. Anyway. And I had it pulled up already. All right, so what we're talking about this morning, what Fred's going to be talking about this morning in our verse, is that one of the things that Paul talked about was that when we were baptized, we died to self, and that we don't live anymore, but Christ lives in us. And when Christ lives in us, it makes all the difference that we can live now without fear. That we can live now trusting him. And what's inside, having Christ inside us, makes all the difference with what we do in our life.
Good morning. Appreciate that, Ben, so very much. What matters is what's inside of us, doesn't it? Amen. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to Galatians 2, verse 20. This may have been the passage, although there's another passage we're going to read later that's much like what Ben was just talking about. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We are continuing our series of lessons on the cross. Last week we talked about that the cross is the most important. Everything else falls in place when you have the cross. It's more important than anything else that Paul writes about. He says, he told us, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 5, he said, what I'm going to share with you about the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is the gospel, is of first importance. It is the most important. And now the Apostle Paul then makes it more personal. Because in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. That took place when he was baptized. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul said, I have died, and now I live for Christ. Some 68 years ago, a seed fell into the ground in what is now a bustling suburb of Portland, Oregon. And with moisture and sunshine, a small sapling sprang up, sending roots deep into the soil and branches even higher into the air. And year after year, the white fir tree grew, much like the one you see in the photo. And for years, it endured heat and cold, famine and flood, disease and urban development. And eventually, it obtained a mature height of 70 feet, towering over every man-made object around it. Almost 68 years ago, a boy was born. With love and care, the infant became a child. The child became a teenager. The teenager became a man. And in the late 1970s, James Lane danced for the Los Angeles Ballet. He married Nancy, who was also a ballet dancer. They had a daughter. In 1992, they moved to Portland. James enjoyed his work, his little girl, his marriage. He loved to ride mountain bikes. Two isolated stories. Stories in which a connection is not required, not even expected. I mean, a tree that could have no conscious of the man, no consciousness of the man, and a man who was oblivious to the tree. I mean, you couldn't expect one story to impact the other unless somehow their paths crossed. By August 1993, the once strong, majestic white fir tree had been dead for some time. It succumbed to some sort of disease, or maybe it died because of insect infestation. I mean, whatever the cause, this one-time beautiful tree had turned into an ugly brown color. Needles were dropping, and underground the roots were rotting. That particular day, James Lane happened to be driving northbound on Oregon Highway 43. This is the actual road that he traveled. In fact, I see another tree that looks like it may fall, even in this picture. It was a late afternoon. He was in his Volkswagen station wagon, VW station wagon, and something snapped. Deep under the tree, with a shudder, it slowly began to fall toward the road. And faster, it fell mindlessly, taking aim for the Volkswagen, traveling about 40 miles per hour. James never saw the tree falling. When it hit his car, the tree drove the roof and to the dashboard. The force of the collision blew the tires and pushed the rims into the pavement. And in an instant, James's legs and hands and his arms were paralyzed. He couldn't open his fingers, couldn't move his fingers, couldn't even open his hands. He lost a lot of motion in his arms. And from that very moment, the life of James Lane would not be the same. I think we're going to turn this off. We're having a problem with it. We're going to use this mic. Let's bring up that photo, if you will, please, Janine. This is a photo of James and his wife, Nancy, who they now own a ballet studio in Portland, Oregon, where she is also a ballet instructor. But a tree crossed paths with a man, and everything changed as a result. Now, today I want to talk about another tree, not as tall, certainly not as attractive. However, this tree doesn't only paralyze, I mean, it kills. It kills a person. The Bible tells us that God deliberately pushed that tree towards his son. And we have seen the tree fall, crushing Jesus and changing everything. Of course, the tree I'm talking about is the cross of Jesus Christ that killed our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter writes this. He said, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin. Jesus bore our sins and his body on the tree. The cross didn't only kill Jesus, it also kills us. You know, the old man of sin, the old self. Now, if we're not careful, however, we can come to view the cross primarily as the instrument which caused the death of Jesus. And the story of the cross will center principally around the events that happened at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. And the crucifixion will remain something that happened long ago and at a great distance removed. And as long as the events of the cross and resurrection remain as stories about Jesus, they fail to reach the cross of the centuries to have their intended effect on us today. I mean, there's more to the cross of Calvary than Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, he is not the only one who died on that cross. Because if you look closely, you can see the cross is a crowded place. There are millions upon millions of people hanging upon it. They come from every continent and every century. Male and female, rich and poor, young and old, and they cling to the cross and to the Christ who hangs there. And if we look even more closely, it may be you that you see hanging on that cross. Because you see, the cross not only killed Jesus, it killed you and me. So I want us to begin here by taking a look, first of all, at making the cross personal. Making the cross personal. Again, the Apostle Paul writes a lot about the cross, but as far as we know, Paul wasn't present at the crucifixion of Jesus. We have no record of that. He probably never even laid eyes on the cross that was used to execute Jesus. He certainly bore no nail prints in his hands. He had not screamed in pain when they hoisted Jesus on the cross. In fact, as a Roman citizen, he had no fear whatsoever of ever being crucified, because the Roman government would not allow its citizens to go through such torture and humiliation, even if they were the worst of criminals. And yet Paul understood that something happened to him at the same time it was happening to Jesus. It wasn't just Jesus dying on that cross. Paul says that he died too. In fact, Paul took the cross of Christ very personally. He writes in Galatians 2 verse 20 again. He says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. In Galatians 6 verse 14, the apostle writes this. He said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, Paul said that we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "For Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." And then in Romans 6, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with." So when Jesus died, Paul died. I mean, Paul sees himself as crawling onto the cross with Jesus. I mean, the hands and feet nailed to the cross were his hands and feet. The back torn by the wood was his back. The side ripped open by the spear was his side. The death of Jesus became his death. I mean, at the cross, Paul said that he died to sin, to self, and to the world. Paul viewed the cross as a brutal and final reality to his life. His dreams, desires, aspirations, plans, power, prestige, shame, guilt, insecurities were all pronounced DOA, dead on arrival at the cross. And everything was different from the moment that the killer tree fell across Paul's life. A drastic change occurred in Paul. He became a different person. Instead of a persecutor of Christians, Paul became a preacher who converted people to Christianity. Instead of being motivated by hatred for a blasphemer named Jesus, Paul became impassioned by love for his Savior named Jesus. I mean, Paul's life was no longer lived for himself, but for Christ. Paul was totally and fully consumed with Christ. Christ had filled his existence. He lost his life for the sake of Christ, and he found his life in Christ. Amen? And yet the cross of Jesus is to impact us in the very same way. I mean, like Paul, it doesn't matter that we weren't present at the crucifixion. I mean, we were still crucified right along with Jesus. Though there are no nail prints in our hands and feet, we died on that cross as surely as Jesus did. I mean, I never felt the whip of the lash. I never felt the rough wood of the cross on my back, and yet I am dead. I am dead. I no longer live. I have been crucified. Paul insists that we make the cross of Calvary a very personal thing. And unless we understand that our lives, that our very lives came to an end at Calvary, then we'll never be truly dead to self, to sin, and to the world. It's only when we see ourselves impaled on the cross of Calvary will we be able to die to self and live victoriously in Jesus. So does the crucifixion of Jesus change your life? You know the answer to that question better than anyone else. You know the answer by the way you act when you're around your when you're away from your church family. You know the things that you do and say when you're with your non-Christian friends. You know by the way you relate to other people. Is the crucifixion of Christ real to you, or is it just something that the preacher and Bible class teacher talk about, but it really doesn't mean anything? You see, our life will determine whether or not we were truly crucified with Christ. So secondly, how then do we do it? How do we join Jesus on the cross? I mean, do we literally crucify ourselves? Did you know that there are certain Filipino fanatics who do so every Easter? They go through a crucifixion. There's one person who would become a symbolic of Christ, but they are actually crucified. Not to death, but they are crucified. They are nailed to a cross, and then after the ceremony, after the event, then they're taken off and then they're treated. But they go through this every Easter. I mean, do we eagerly pursue a martyr's death as some Christians did in the second and third centuries? So how do we crucify ourselves? Well, first of all, number one, we crucify ourselves through faith. How do we crucify ourselves? Through faith. Now, there is a sense in which we were present. We were present at the cross. And though we had not been born, though we had not accepted Christ's sacrifice, confessed his name, been baptized in him, God placed us up on that cross. I mean, he did something to us at Calvary. And that's what Paul understood and in which he placed his faith. He was crucified to the world at the cross. Galatians 6 verse 14. Our old self was crucified with Christ. Romans 6 verse 6. I mean, there is in some sense to which we do not join Jesus at the cross. We've already been there. We've already been there. Our sins were placed upon him at that time. Satan's power over us was broken at that moment. Forgiveness and new life became available for us at that very instant. We died with Christ 2,000 years ago and half a world away. We died with Jesus. God has already caused the tree on which Jesus died to fall upon us and to change everything. But secondly, we join Jesus on the cross through baptism. Through baptism. How do we do it? Through baptism. Now, when Paul said that he was crucified with Christ, he was referring to his baptism. And for those of you taking notes, you can read about Paul's conversion to Christ recorded in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 through 19, and Acts 26, verse 16, if you want to read about his conversion. Okay? But our faith and baptism are connected. Now, there are some people who misunderstand this idea of faith when they say we are saved by faith alone. Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. But what we do believe, what we often teach is that faith is belief alone. That's not what faith is at all. Faith, the word, it's a verb. It's an action. It's something that we do. Our faith involves more than belief. That's part of our faith. But faith also involves our repentance, turning away from the world. It involves our confession in him that Jesus is the Christ. It's involved in our baptism. It is involved in our very life. Remember, Paul said that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but the life I live in faith. I live in Christ in faith. And all of that comes together. And our faith and baptism are connected. In Galatians chapter 3, turn your Bible over there real quickly. Galatians 3, let's look at verses 26 and 27. Listen to what Paul said. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. I got to get closer to the speaker, to the microphone. I forget. Paul said, you are all sons of God, children of God. Through how? Through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he explains it. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, have put on Christ, have been united with Christ. All of you through faith have been baptized in Christ, have been united with Jesus Christ. And through faith, we are united with Christ in baptism as we participate with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Turn your Bible over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. I want us to read verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about our grace. He talks about how grace covers our sin. And in fact, he says when sin increases, grace increases all the more. But the problem with that, there are some people who turn grace into license to commit sin. And Paul says, okay, now I'm going to chapter 6, and I have to clarify what I just said, so here's a disclaimer. He goes in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. God forbid, the King James says. We died to sin. How do we live any longer? And then he describes how we died to sin. He says, or don't you know that all of us, Paul includes himself, all of us who were baptized into Jesus, were immersed into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we have been united with him like this in his death, we were certainly also united with him in his resurrection. For we know, when we were baptized, he says, we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Remember last week we said the gospel is what? The death, burial, and resurrection. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. And yet in our baptism, we climb into the cross with Jesus and appropriate that event for ourselves. In baptism, our old self breathes its last and dies with Jesus. In baptism, we are buried with Jesus in the tomb, Paul said. In baptism, we are raised with Jesus to live with God. We share in the events of Calvary. Friends, our baptism is our crucifixion. Do we get that? This is how we are crucified with Christ. That's what baptism does. It kills you and regenerates you all at the same time. And I want you to understand the power is not in water. The power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where the power is. Water is just the element. It's just the element that Jesus used. But it is through there that we by faith are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's the whole point. But it kills us and regenerates you all at the same time. However, dying to Jesus is not a one-time event that takes place in baptism. We are to die with Christ daily. Which brings us to point number 3. We join Jesus on the cross through discipleship. How do we do it? Through discipleship. I want you now, if you will, please, I want you to go to listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 9. I do have it on the screen. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Listen to what Jesus says to us who want to be followers of his. He says to them all, If anyone would come after me, would be my disciple, would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. You know, we often think of the cross lasting only 6 hours for Jesus. But in reality, his cross lasted his entire life. I mean, the real cross of Jesus wasn't made out of wood. It involved the voluntary denial of his own wants and wishes in order to render obedience to God and service to people. Jesus died to himself 1,000 times before he ever died at Calvary. And if we aren't careful, we will limit our cross to the few moments it requires to be baptized. But our cross lasts a lifetime as well. I mean, the day we put on Christ in baptism is just the beginning of our cross bearing. Every day for the rest of our lives, we bear the cross of Jesus Christ. We die with Christ, denying ourselves. Bearing the cross means that we live for Jesus in obedience to him and not to the world. That's what it means. I mean, baptism is the promise to lay down our lives daily and follow Jesus. And I want to follow you, Christ. Our daily lives, our behavior, our speech, our attitudes, our motives will determine if we were crucified with Christ in baptism or if we just got wet. Has the tree fallen on you? James Lane's life had completely changed by his meeting with a tree. For 28 years, his legs, hands, and arms have been paralyzed. For 28 years, his morning routine of showering, shaving, and dressing that once took 30 thoughtless minutes now take 2 hours of agonizing and deliberate effort. His once active life that consisted of dancing and riding dirt bikes and playing with his then little girl, you know, that almost 3 decades ago had been reduced to wheelchairs, nurses' aides, and physical therapy. One sudden meeting, the collision of a tree with James' life had radically, unalterably, and permanently affected his life. But how about us? I mean, have our lives been affected by our meeting with a tree? I sometimes wonder if the story of the cross has hit us only at a glancing blow. I mean, the cross lands on us, our lives shudder to a halt for a few moments, but slowly we recover. We recover. We shake off the effects of that meeting and continue down the road, dented but not transformed. And the question we should ask ourselves is this: has the cross of Christ radically, unalterably, and permanently transformed our lives? That's the question we should consider. Are we really different people because of the cross? Is our lifestyle different? Do we react to situations and circumstances differently? Do people notice a change in us? I mean, we need to remind ourselves every day that the cross has fallen on us. We need to begin each day with, I died with Christ. Today, I live for Him. I mean, when tempted, we should feel the nails in our hands and the wood in our back and shout out, I died to sin. I will not live in it any longer. I'm not going to allow sin to move into my life, and that's going to be my lifestyle. I will be one who will strive to overcome sin daily in my life as I carry the cross of Jesus Christ daily. I mean, when sick with guilt and remorse, let's feel the spear in our side, remind ourselves, I have been crucified with Christ. The debt has been paid. No other sacrifice has to be made. I am forgiven. Will you say that with me? I am forgiven. Say it like you believe it. I am forgiven. The cross of Jesus became your cross, and it became my cross. Won't you be glad when these things are gone?
I guess the question we ask you is, have you been crucified with Christ?